to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 192. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is with me in Las Vegas. And first off, why did 192 make you joke?
Because I was still thinking about the two hole.
Let's not even
He had that. Some audio issues, and I have an adapter that plugs into the thing, and he said one hole sounded better than the other. I chimed in. Oh, the two hole that you just plugged it in.
We're just getting this thing off to a rousing start tonight. Just highbrow MMA discussion at its
right from
finest.
The get-go.
Dude, I tell you what, man. I'm not going to lie. I hesitate to use cold coffee as a term tonight. I might just go with Ken Hathaway because coffee is not my friend.
Not your friend.
Coffee is not my friend. I have had the worst week that you could possibly imagine in terms of a fight week. And I guess I'll get to the coffee. I'll start with on Tuesday, you and I had interviews set up. We are here in Las Vegas. We should say that we are at the Casa de Cold mm-hmm. Coffee right now, mm-hmm. having a couple of frosty beverages.
Frosty PBRs.
Award-winning Past Blue Rhythm. I will say.
They do not have the fancy labels on them. I guess they stopped doing them.
It doesn't have the nice Japanese
No, I
artwork.
Bought them from a different store on the way home, like a
That's
little carry-out. Yeah,
oh, this is the standard classic right
here. This is the original.
I will say, as much as we brag about Las Vegas weather, today is not good. It's cold. It's rainy. So I will
it's
say,
not that cold.
we do get
it's
chilly
colder.
Days every now and then.
Yeah, it's definitely wet and gray. Today is a wet and gray day. Very rare, not a normal day today. Cloudy. I think the high was... It was like 58.
Yes, so that's cold,
yeah.
Man.
Like I think it says right now 55.
It's cold in Las Vegas. That's cold in Las Vegas terms. I'll holler at you from Toronto next week and tell you how I think how cold Vegas is, man.
Yeah.
I'll probably be begging to be back here. But like, Tuesday, you and I were here in Las Vegas. We're covering the Ultimate Fighter 28 finale down here on the ground in Las Vegas. And you and I had interviews set up that morning. We talked to Rafael Dos Anjos, Kamaru Usman, Brian Caraway, Pedro Munhoz, Alex Perez, Joseph Benavidez, we talked to later in the day. So we had some interviews set up. And on the way there, I discovered that, the day before I had noticed my little tire sensor came on. But, you know, sometimes when the weather changes, you get your tire pressure thing on. So I didn't even pay any attention to it. It is a little chilly this week. I just kind of blew it off. But I'm going to warn people right now. If you're like me and you don't pay attention to your tire pressure sensor, start paying attention. Because I woke up the next morning, went to drive down to the Palms to meet you there for the interviews, and man, it just the car didn't feel right. Like it was riding kind of heavy. Like it wasn't right. And I turned the radio down, and it just didn't sound right. And I got out of the car and looked at the tire, and one was like dead flat. The driver's side rear tire was just, I mean, flat. Like
wow.
I wish I wasn't out of my house.
You didn't hear it like going like that whole like to, 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 to.
No, it wasn't. I mean, it does, you know, it's got that kind of tire that's designed to be driven on a little bit, you know what I mean? But it's still like it's not for very long.
Yeah.
You know
what
I'm saying? So and then to make matters worse, you know, there's a gas station right by my house. So luckily I saw it and I was like, oh cool, I'll just jump in there and throw a little air in it. That way I can meet you. Because I mean, I'm on a schedule right now. I'm on the way to go meet you, and we've got these fighters lined up, and pull into the gas station right there. The air's got the out of order, you know, notebook paper taped to it or whatever. I was like, ah, damn it. I was like, okay. I was like, you know what? There's a gas station a little bit further down. Still on the way to come meet you. I'm like, but there's a gas station further down. So I drove down there, and that one worked. But it was one of those ones that was like kind of old and janky, basically. Like you can't even really, like,
did you have to pay for it too?
Oh yeah, you
that
had to pay
sucks,
for it.
Man. That shit used to be free
for air, bro.
You used to be able to get free. You could just pull up to a gas station
for air
and just plug the thing in. Now everybody.
And how profitable must it be that for a $1.50 transaction you can use your check card? Because nobody carries cash. I don't carry any cash on me.
They take check cards now?
Oh yeah, dude. I'm swiping my check card to pay for air, bro. I'm swiping my check card to pay for air. So, but it's loose. I can feel the air coming out. So I'm like, dude. And that's when I messaged you. I was like, bro, this is not gonna work. So I drove the car back home, put it in the garage, jumped in an Uber, made it on time for the interviews. I was happy. I was worried I was going to be late, but I made it on time. We knocked out the interviews, and then I rushed home because I was like, bro, I got to get this tire taken care of. I can't be taking Ubers, you know, every day this week, and I got to get this knocked out. So got that knocked out, and I'm like, all right, fight week's off to a rough start, but we got it handled. We didn't freak out. under pressure, we figured out the clutch plays. Everybody took care of business, and we got the interviews knocked out. Then on Wednesday, we came back, and we had a media day at the Ultimate Fighter finale. It was at the Palms, and went up to the media room there, did scrums. Rafael Dos Anjos, Kamaru Usman were back. The four finalists were there as well. Got those all knocked out. And then I was going to head home and go work from home a little bit. And as we were packing up to walk out the door, I knocked a cup of coffee into my computer. And like, I mean, like,
straight up in it.
Straight into the computer. Now, keep in mind, earlier this month, I mean, 3 weeks ago, I almost ruined my computer with a cup of coffee in Denver. This time, it is straight up into the tray of the laptop. Coffee everywhere. You had a towel, fortunately, which is great. I tried to soak it up. I turned it over. I disconnected
it. You turned
it
over. They were still like, it created a pile. It was dripping. Like, it was huge.
I was
like,
out of it.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it was bad. So,
which is crazy because you look at these laptops. I mean, obviously, there's room around the buttons for when you push them, but they look pretty compact and airtight. You know, it's not like my old PC. You could swear you could see gaps because you'd always see the crumbs. Most of these laptops, especially like these Macs, you don't see it. So for that much coffee to get in and still be dripping out, you know, that's just crazy.
It was rough, man.
You were sweating.
I turned it out. I turned it upside down in my car. I put your towel that you gave me. I laid it down in the seat, and I turned the computer over upside down. So I was driving home. I turned the air conditioner on. Also, my car has like the seat vents or whatever. Mm-hmm. I turned those on high because I thought maybe some airflow underneath might help. I turned the air conditioner on high, just kind of blowing air. I figured any kind of moving air we can get, you know, it's almost like drying up your hands after you wash them or whatever in the bathroom. I'm just anything I can do, right? And I get home and it's dead as a doornail. Mm. And basically, man, I spent this all happened about 24 hours ago, and I spent the last 24 hours basically just playing surgeon on my computer and trying to. It's been stressful, and I'm lucky, man. I'm super, super lucky because when I bought that computer, I bought my wife a computer at the same time with pretty much the close specs.
Yeah.
But the problem was I had to get all that data off my computer, which wasn't really working. So I had to, you know, do all the hard drive partitioning and repairs and everything I could do to salvage whatever data was there. And it wasn't reading properly. Like, there was only 150 gigs of data on there, but it was showing 450. I mean, it was just headache after headache. And every time I thought I had a breakthrough, then another roadblock popped up, you know. And finally, I got this backup computer up and operating today. But that was, you know, I slept 2 hours last night because I was working all night. We had the official weigh-ins. This is a rare Thursday weigh-in. Yeah. I will say, thank God, as we sit down to record on Thursday nights the way we always do, you and I don't have to wake up early tomorrow.
No.
This is like the old days of the road show, bro. We do not have to be up early. but it has been a stressful week, man. I'm not going to lie. And, cold coffee. I'm having a hard time saying it because coffee, F you coffee.
Well,
and again,
say,
I will stress, I have never spilled a beer.
That's true.
Never spilled a beer in my computer.
Well, I was going to say, because you've spilled beers. Just
not in my computer.
Just
though.
Not on your
That's
computer.
Different. Totally different.
Very, very different. That just goes to show, folks. If you're going to have a liquid beverage next to your workstation, have it be a frosty beverage. beverage. But yeah, you were sweating. But I'm glad you got that worked out because, I was thinking, like, fuck, if I got to do everything. Fight night's going to suck.
I was joking, too. I was like, I can't wait to send you all the pics to edit. And to your credit, you were like, hey, man, whatever we got to do. And I was like, I'm just kidding, dog. I'm not going to make you do that,
too. That was the third phrase that I had written first. I went with that one after. I was like, all right, team player. Team player.
That's great. All right, well, listen, speaking of terrible things, real quick, I do want to talk about, before we get to the tough finale, Liddell Ortiz.
Yeah.
That was a terrible transition, calling it a terrible thing. But
dare you?
I did want to ask. Here's what I want to ask, because I thought you took a very, very unique position last week. You, despite the fact that we can expense these things because it is part of our job, you took a moral stand and said, I'm not ordering it.
What's
and
up
I
with
did?
That? Well, I'm kind of glad I did. When I saw how it ended, I'm like, okay, that's cool. That's cool. I'm glad it. I don't know, because it's funny, because even when I was singing on the podcast, I was like, all right, you know, I'll give them some money. I'm going to give them some money, you know, to their credit, I'm going to give them some money. But when it came down to it and that price didn't change, because when it was supposed to go to $20
right.
all day long, I was going to buy it. No problem.
I agree.
And just the fact of when it was still 40 in my head, you know, granted, I mean, like, yes, the company's going to expense it, but I was seeing the fact of like, oh, we had how many people pay for this fight, you know, and in my head, I was thinking, it's not like a million people are gonna. We're gonna get tons of numbers of people reading the stories
right.
and stuff. So I was like, if they ever come back and say, "Why did you have every staff member watch this fight?" You know. So it was partially that I was like, ah, you know, it just felt like a waste of money to have me when I wasn't really writing anything. And when it came down to paying $40 on fight night, I balked. Because there were no other fights that really interested me.
Yeah.
So I was actually trying to hold out, too, because I was hoping that as the event proceeded, the cost would come down at some point.
Right.
And they went the complete opposite route and just shut it off at a certain point. Like, maybe two or three fights out from Chuck, they just turned it off. I didn't even see the option to buy it anymore. So I was like, okay, that's weird. But then at that point, I was like, okay, I'm not watching it.
Well, you know, it's funny. So I was watching it, and I was kind of helping the boys out. Simon Simano and Dave Mandel were out there in L.A. handling business. And, you know, I'll be honest. I was a little bit curious about seeing Chuck and Tito. And,
yeah.
Of course, it ended in probably worst-case scenario as far as
yeah.
you know, Chuck not looking good than I got. But I will say this. You know, you talk about the undercard. You know, there were some names on there. You know, Gleison Tebow, Efren Escudero. I mean, there were some names on there. But I will say, as the fight was going on, and I think this is going to be a problem if Golden Boy does try to stay in it, the fights just don't feel like they mean anything because they don't move you forward. You know, in the same way
right.
that we've praised the PFL, like, I for some reason, I really get into those PFL cards because the whole cards are tied together and mean something. You know, it's
right.
like a whole division. It was the exact opposite with Golden Boy. I'm like, you know, I love MMA. I could watch MMA every day. I mean, we've talked
yeah.
about, you know, what is too much. I could watch a lot of it. But to just, I mean, it didn't feel like it was moving forward.
Yeah.
It does, I mean, what
just
happens?
Felt like an exhibition.
That's
like an exhibition night.
Exhibition.
Like,
that's perfect.
Everybody just coming together to fight. And then at the end of the night, we say, hey, great event, guys. See you later.
Yeah, and people were getting on the mic afterwards, you know? and it was weird too. Like I thought the announcing team did a great job. Like Frank Mir, Rashad Evans, I thought they both did fantastic. Todd Grisham did great. I thought the announcers did a really good job. I thought they selected great talent.
Yeah.
But Frank Mir was doing the in ring stuff or in cage stuff, and it was weird because, as is pretty typical in MMA, you go, "What's next?
What's next?" Yeah.
And the fighters are like, I don't know, man. You know, like, Oscar, you gonna do this?
Yeah.
If so, like, give me a holler. And it was just weird. Like, hey, so what's next is, bro, if you do this again, give me a shout. Like,
yeah.
It was weird, you know. So it struggled. And then, of course, when we got to Chuck and Tito, man, it was hard. I'm not as, I guess, maybe overly critical as some people are this week of saying, geez, what a disaster. It should have never happened. I mean, Chuck was in shape, man. He was in shape. I'll give him that. He gave it a shot. And you know, they did pass medicals and all that, but I mean, surely somebody that was training them had to know that that was not going to go well. Surely somebody had to realize.
Who knows? From what I was hearing or heard a little bit after the fact was the fact that he wasn't taking punches. When we asked him, even at that open workout day, what was it like, you know, hopping back in there, taking punches to the head again, you know, shaking that rust off, he made it seem, and I'm pretty sure he said that, you know, it wasn't fun or whatever, but that it was happening.
Right.
But then, you know, I'd kind of heard some things after the fact that he wasn't sparring, that he
yeah.
wasn't taking shots, you know, and that's a big difference, especially when we always talk about game speed or, you know, fight speed. Once you get in there, you know, what you've been training goes out the window once you take that first punch. And it just seems to me that maybe he wasn't sparring because once, you know, he took some hits from Tito, I mean, from the little clips that I've seen after the fact, they were doing lots of damage to him, and he was rocked.
It
he was
bad.
Rocked right from the get-go, and it just put him.
It wasn't fun to watch.
All out of sorts. But, you know, I think that's the difference, too, about, you know, and part of it, you know, going, like, what's going forward for Golden Boy MMA. This is a guy that, you know, especially with boxing, you know, as a promoter, you work with these different organizations that have the belts, as opposed to UFC, which is a promoter, but controls its own belts.
Right.
Instead of having these organizations,
these
sanctioning bodies, you know, and I think that's something that if he's going to want to do it, I think he has to wrap, and this is Oscar, has to wrap his head around, like, if you're going to do it, you know, there is no other entity out there that's providing belts. Everybody provides their own belt. Right. So that's something that he's going to have to really, if they want to do it, yeah, he's got to take that step. And if he's going to go all in, he's going to have to make his own belts.
Just the Golden Boy Champ.
Golden Boy Champ.
Because that would make, you know? I mean, if you're doing one-offs, but you're bringing in somebody to fight for the Golden Boy title, like maybe that means something. So
I mean, because if not, and if he's just doing these little one-off exhibitions, I guess that's good for the guys, the headliners, because it seems like, you know, Oscar said one thing about what fighters were going to get paid, and the only people that got paid a decent amount were Chuck and
that's
Tito.
Everybody else got paid less than they made in the UFC. There were people making one and one on there.
Yeah, I mean, which is crazy. I mean,
but I will say, all right, so let's get to this. Because I don't want to spend a ton of time on this card, but I will say this: I initially heard the initial estimates were 45,000 pay per views. I've since heard revised 25,000 pay per views, and that does come from an industry source. But you know, it's not a source within Golden Boy, so you know you'll have to let them verify things and make an official announcement. But either way, it doesn't sound good. But let's go low end. Let's say it is 25,000. If what they said on the revenue split is true, that basically Chuck and Tito were making about 30% a piece out of that, that's still, you know, $300,000 that they're going to make each, plus their guaranteed purses. So, I mean, it's still $500,000 paychecks for Chuck and Tito, which, I mean, I can respect that. I mean, that is good money. There's not a lot of MMA fighters making that.
$25,000 at 40, that's a million bucks.
Right, and then they take 30% out of it is what they said. Plus, they were guaranteed $2,250, I believe, is what their pay were, if I remember offhand. So, I mean, if it's $500,000 paychecks, that's not bad for them. But, yeah, I mean, everybody else on the card.
But they made it sound like everybody was going to get a check.
Everybody else on the card made peanuts. It was the boxing model. Yeah. The lower tier makes nothing, and yes, the upper tier makes something.
Yeah.
But it's not fair to shout out those people from the rooftop as saying, look how much money they made when you had people making one and one.
Or, I mean, especially to go out and say, I'm going to change the way things are happening. It's like, you didn't change anything.
You did.
You know, you didn't do whatever. So maybe if they had more pay-per-view and he could have opted to do something after the fact, you know, like we always see these discretionary bonuses, these locker room pays or whatever, you know, maybe if they had more numbers coming in that we would hear something about it. But yeah, it's just so bad. I mean, like, they sold it as one particular thing, and we definitely didn't get what we wanted to. And then now you get, like, Dana and Oscar going back and forth a little bit about it, but which is kind of crazy. Which I don't want to give that too much whatever, because that's just two guys just...
Oh, they're going crazy charming. At
yeah,
each
it's
other,
just
man.
Nuts, man. Calling, you know, definitely not holding anything back. It's not the smartest crap talking going on, you know. It's just a lot of, like, you know, tongue-in-cheek jabs, but...
Tongue-in-cheek? I mean...
Cocaine? I mean, like, that's kind of...
I don't even know if that's
just
tongue-in-cheek.
Like, well, you know.
That's just over-the-top trash talk, man. It's crazy.
I guess. It's just, like, it's just so...
It is
no,
weird.
There's no intellect behind that. It's just, like, it's just, like, oh, yeah. I don't know.
All right, well, enough of that. We'll see if Golden Boy goes on. I mean, I guess they could make some money at it, but I did hate seeing Chuck go out like that, man. It sucked. And I mean, I know he felt bad. And you know, like I said, he was in good shape, man. It looked like he tried, so I don't know. All right, well, listen, crazy weekend. There are two UFC events, two Bellator events in 2 days. I mean, it is absolutely nuts. You and I are playing the home game, man. We get the Ultimate Fighter finale. The main event is a big fight. You know, Rafael Dos Anjos, Kamaru Usman, a lot of meaning in the welterweight division. It's a big fight. It's in the small cage, which, you know, we'll see how that plays out. You got to think a small cage kind of favors Usman a little bit, who's going to want to push forward and engage and grind. You got to think that's going to make it a little tougher to Hoffa to dance around and have room to strike, which I think that's probably where he'd prefer to have it. But, you know, I feel like, you know, this fight isn't necessarily getting a ton of love, and I honestly believe that's because I think the public is still against Kamaru Usman, man. And I hate to see that because, you know, we had a sit-down interview with him. That's on MMA Junkie. It's on the YouTube channel as well. And we sat down with Rafael Dos Anjos as well. And then we had scrums with him as well. So, I mean, we had plenty of time to talk to both guys. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Usman is becoming a very well-spoken, you know, very I enjoy talking to him, man. I think he's very insightful. I think he's very honest.
Yeah.
And I enjoy talking to him. And I get that his style doesn't necessarily lend himself to being, you know, he's not Cowboy Cerrone out there. I get that. You know, he tries to take a measured approach to the way he manages his career. He definitely takes a measured approach to the way he manages fights. And of course, You know, the comment that he made earlier this year when he had the 30%.
People certainly
him.
bite the shit out of him. That's all you see all over the place. You know, he didn't do himself any favors, but
that one stuck with him. And it's not what he meant.
Yeah,
it sucks. But
in
but
the
it
same
has
sense, people are paying attention to it though. So if you're looking to say, all right, nobody's paying attention to anything this guy's saying. You know, you have some out there that say, you know, until you get your first haters, you know, you haven't made it. So, you know, he could say, in a sense, you
that's
know,
true.
Now you got people that are harping on the smallest little thing, whether they take it out of context or not. He could say, all right, that's happening. So, check mark for something that's going on.
Yeah.
For me, when I think about this, and I think the UFC has a bad habit when it comes to, like, a lot of these tough fights and stuff like that, is you just, I personally, maybe it's the lack of me watching cable television and only doing the over-the-top stuff. I saw no ads for this at all. The only time I see ads for this is if I'm already watching a Fight Pass product. You know, and if you're only going to really advertise something if somebody's already watching your product, how can you expect to reach anybody else? I just feel that they do a really piss-poor job. Granted, maybe if I lived on FS1 or some of those channels watching those, maybe I would be seeing something.
Right.
But me personally, I just feel like, you know, you feel the difference of the promotion when it comes to a pay-per-view. It's everywhere. You know, outside of you just watching this stuff, it's randomly coming on commercials, it's doing whatever, and just not getting the same push when it comes to these cards. So that outside of even the fight card itself, I mean, you definitely feel, and I don't know if it's a matter of the UFC has a bullet point, you know, when it comes to, all right, what kind of event is this? Was this a Fox event? Is this a pay-per-view event? Is this a fight night event? All right, these are the advertising budgets that we're already going to sort of slate for it. And, you know, now we come down to one of those ones where, okay, well, we don't have column A and B on this of all the money that we can go to do this.
True.
We can only do this, and this, you know. Let's have some luncheons in Vegas. Let's have some luncheons in Cali, you know, where media is sort of there so that, you know, they're
that's
easy
true.
Lift
there
for this
been
stuff.
Much push for this fight, and it's a big
shit.
Fight. It's a big fight.
Unless, the only stuff I honestly can think I've seen is when I'm already watching a Fight Pass or a UFC product that they just tag it on the end.
Which is weird, because at which
no
point
cost
you
for
probably
that.
Already know. You know what I mean? Like, if you're already watching UFC programming, you're probably
you already
aware of the next
yeah.
fight.
That's the regular user, your diehards, whatever, you know, but you're not reaching the casuals. And a card like this, it's already kind of hard because if someone's not watching, like, I don't think Tough has had a new crop of viewers, you know, in quite some time.
Right.
You know, like,
it's
just not reaching
the
new people. It's just the hardcore. So they knew this was going on. So they're already doing it. So where are you going to get the people to boost these things, you know? And I think that's tough, and I think that's probably what's led to what most people believe why this is probably going to be the last season of Tough. You know, it's just not getting the numbers. But when you see a promotion not giving its best on the finale of that either, or just on these fight nights, it certainly doesn't help it. You know, I mean, it'd be one thing if you see great fights and people are like, man, I really appreciated that final of the finale of that Tough, you know, let's give it another go. You know,
right.
I just don't feel like people are saying that anymore, you know, but I don't know.
It does seem like this is going to be the last Ultimate Fighter. I know that, you know, Dana has said, hey, listen, the future's still up in the air. You know, we'll see what ESPN wants to do. But it definitely feels that way. I mean, we know that obviously the gym is gone, but they're building a new facility where they could house it if they wanted to.
That's it.
But at that point, it's just more of the – I mean, the Contender Series is the future.
That's it. I think if you could free up the amount of money – like the do the Ultimate Fighter is not a cheap venture. Like,
no.
Just if, you know, going and seeing
round the clock filming
all the crew that's there, you know, let alone the house that they rent, the food, everybody always rants and raves. I just put a list. They buy me everything.
Lobster.
You know, there's multiple people that are always on site that are just staff, people that are working the cameras. There are people that are, you know, taking the footage. This is a huge production. So that they could have that money back to push towards new ventures and new ideas, you know, looking for a fight, you know, putting towards Contender. For the most part, Contender runs pretty lean already because it's all, for the most part, just that fight night. They don't do a lot of promotion. I mean, they might do more, but most of the stuff, the guys came to the PI.
Yeah.
They shot promos there at the PI, so they're not, you know, expending any money. But I would be interested to see what new things that might be on the horizon that if they freed up that budget what that they could come, you know, whether it be a show that maybe goes back into boxing, you know, another love of Dana's.
I'll tell you what, I know it sounds a little, and I think they might be hesitant to do it because it probably sounds a little, I don't know, mean-spirited, but I don't mean it that way. Like, what about a fight night of, like, 10 UFC veterans? You know, let's keep with that five-fight contender series vibe of 10 UFC veterans that are basically on the bubble of being cut. You know what I mean? Five winners stay on the roster.
Survivor Series.
But yeah, you know, five winners stay on the roster, five losers go. You know what I mean? I mean, I can see the UFC saying, well, that's kind of asshole.
Well,
and what if you have a bad
It'd be one thing if it was already, if you were already sort of cut, but that was a path back.
That's true.
You know, like say, you know, instead of like, oh, by the way, you know, because you figure most of these guys are assumed if they're already on the bubble, they already know any regular fight is
right.
already going to be the you're fighting for your life. But it'll be interesting as a path back because, you know, remember
I'm
they did the redemption
like,
series.
Like relegation, like in soccer or whatever.
Right?
You know what I mean? Like, dude.
What are they
like,
going to relegate
bro,
them
you're
to?
You're at the bottom.
To nothing?
You get relegated out. Well, yeah. I mean, then I don't know. I guess, well, yeah, because probably like LFA wouldn't want to take somebody because they're trying to promote like up-and-coming
yeah.
talent. So, yeah, it would be tough. Like,
it'd be interesting, though. I mean, it would be a neat way back, you know,
I don't know.
See for people that didn't, because then, you know, they could do the whole revisiting them at their homes afterward, what's been going on, and then they come. But, I mean, I could see that, like the Redemption Series, you know, where they come back in and it's a fight, one fight that night, you know, they sort of build it up, you know, and you get that one chance to kind of
cool.
get back in. If anything, just at least get one more fight after that. You win
yeah,
your
once
shot.
Once a year would be cool, something, or once a quarter.
Or even that, if they did it just like the contender, there's no guarantee you get that contract after you got that fight for that particular night.
Right.
Hopefully a little bit, maybe more money, not like what they're doing. But the best fights of that night had the opportunity to get signed back to
dope.
Another
you know,
multi-fight
I look at, like,
contract.
I see on social media, like, Joe Giannetti all the time has been out there, like, campaigning, like,
yeah.
give me another shot, give me another
I
shot.
I like Joe.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool to take guys
yeah.
like that that have just been campaigning, like, bro, I know you cut me, but I've won three in a row on the regional stage,
yeah.
and I promise I deserve another shot. Like,
yeah, because you can't throw them on Contender Series. I
right.
think that's the
yeah.
neat thing about the Contender Series, that
it's
these are people
talent.
You don't know about. You know, they're new people that were just like, and to be honest, man, the Contender Series, like, vets are fucking killing it.
Oh, yeah.
And we're actually, this event here has some great names on it that we'll talk more, but like, Contender Series veterans, which is crazy to think that, but people that have went through that franchise are good.
Bro, I cannot wait to see. I mean, like, I can't wait for the Contender Series to come back. I love
yeah.
that stuff. And knowing that, you know, they're going to have a new facility, it's,
yeah.
you know, I'm anxious to see that, what they have. So
yeah.
It's going to be next
that
year.
Could be pretty, it could be pretty sweet, man. Like, I mean, I loved that old gym for its history. You know, you see it on TV, and then you walk in, you're like, oh, you see all the nooks and crannies that you saw on TV.
Yeah.
So it's exciting to see what the new facility and what all they can build into it.
I'm gonna go
it's
by
a huge building.
Oh, it's massive.
It's a big, big building.
I'm going to go by the old gym tomorrow, man. I haven't gone over there yet to see if they got rid of all the, like, the UFC branding and everything.
On the garages?
Yeah.
The garage doors and stuff?
Yeah, it'd be a good time. Tomorrow before the card, like
yeah.
the night before the last finale, I'm going to go over there.
I bet it's still there.
You think the branding
I bet
stuff
the owner
is
that's probably how he's trying to, like, sell it or get it to the next one. He's like, this is where they used to do it, you know, and then let that new person, like,
I'll run over there tomorrow
know,
on the
do
way.
It or something.
I'm gonna do that. All right, last thing about this main event. I mean, this thing has real title implications, but, of course, you know, there's title fights to play out. Should be said, I guess. I mean, the plan is right now, and I think everybody knows this, is Woodley and Covington in January in Anaheim, but it all centers around Woodley getting cleared. If Woodley, you know, gets his injuries cleared, then they'll do it. If not, then they'll have to push it back. But that's the plan right now. I know Usman thinks he would be in line for the winner of that if he wins. RDA hopes he would be. I will say this, you know, I obviously always enjoy talking to Rafael. He's a good dude, man. Sporting the mustache this week.
He had some car troubles as well.
He had some car troubles. That's a funny story. He basically ended up telling us that, yeah, he was doing an interview with MMA Junkie Radio, and while he was doing it, he ran over something. Yeah, and he had a tire blowout, and he had to pull over after the thing was over. So I told the Junkie Radio crew that he'd be sending an invoice. but it was interesting to hear because, you know, he had that plastic surgery but where his ear was separating from his head.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so interesting to hear him talk about what that mindset was like, that, you know, when he was fighting Colby, that basically their first exchange, blood started coming down. And you know, you hear about these guys. You know, I mean, these guys are, you know, guys and gals, obviously, man. They're as tough as they come, right? I mean, they lock themselves in a cage with another human being, right? But I'm like, you know, hey, man, I mean, when you felt that, like, were you scared? And he's like, fuck yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, he's like, bro, he's like, it was all I could think about. My ear is about to come off my head. And he's like, at that point, I did not want to engage. I just, you know, I didn't want to write. Like, when I was in the clinch, I was uncomfortable because all I could think about is my ear is coming off my head. And you know, not that that's an excuse for a fight, but I appreciate him being that honest.
How could you not think about it?
How could you not think about it
during a fight?
And it's the first round, and you know, like, I've got, you know, five more rounds to go.
Because one, I mean, it'd be a life-altering accident, yes. But also, too, that's going to stop the fight. They're not going to let you fight if your ear comes off. So, I mean, I'm sure he was very, very worried.
God,
they're like,
they're like,
just put that on ice, and I'll come back over for it in a little bit. That reminds me of back when Evan Dunham back in Japan, and I brought this story up one of the last times we got with him at the PI before his last fight. But he was talking about – he was there training with somebody and went in for a single leg or something, and it was just like – it wasn't like it was crazy in fight speed or whatever, but it almost ripped his ear off. And because he had this big bandage, I was like, what happened? He's like, oh, yeah, I almost ripped my ear off. This shit happens, I guess, easier than you think, you know, and how can you not – if you know that your ear is just barely there and then it's recovering and then for it to start to happen at a fight, that's all I would think about. I mean, you see people take a shot in the eye and they're constantly pawing at their eye. They're turning to the opposite side and they're favoring it. You know, I mean, how can you not think about it?
Your ears flapping, you feel a breeze going into your brain.
Good Lord. Gives me chills thinking about it. Like,
scary.
Yeah,
all right, big fight there for both those guys, man. Rafael wants to prove, you know, that he belongs to that elite level in the welterweight division. And Kamaru, you know, he feels hell-bent. Man, his scrum, like I said, go back and watch that, man. When he talks about the dedication and sacrifice and focus, man, I don't know. I really like this fight for both guys, man. This is a big moment for both of them. It is the Ultimate Fighter finale, too. Won't spend a lot of time talking about the finals because, I understand. Even people that are listening to this show probably haven't heard a whole lot about either one of these guys, but or gals, for that matter. They probably didn't watch a whole lot of the season. But the women's featherweight final, Macy Chiasson versus Pani Kinyanzet. Pani is a veteran of the sport, no doubt. Meanwhile, Macy... a newcomer, 2-0 is in the professional ranks, but I'll be honest, I'm pulling for her a little bit. She did go out to Fortis MMA, our crew out there in Dallas, so I have to respect that. But I think that's going to be a good fight. I think Macy, you know, just well, and there's no question about it. Kinyanzet moved up from bantamweight. Macy, while she's only 2-0, just being around her for the first time this week, she looks to me like a natural featherweight. She looks like the bigger,
stronger,
more natural featherweight.
You can see that in the face-off. I mean, like, she's coming, bringing her head down. You know, they've been doing this like head-to-head like face-off thing that I think that. Back when they did it in the Tough House or whatever. They're very, very friendly. But so it's always interesting to see people that are such close friends or good friends with a good history have to go in there and bang. And I know that when it comes down to fight time, I mean, friendship is out the window for that night. You know, they can rekindle it after that fight. So it's pretty interesting. But she had great size over I was calling her Panning. But
Panning, yeah.
Yeah, but over Panny, I mean, it's big. But I leaned the other way in my staff pick. I went Panny.
Yeah.
I went with the technique. I thought, you know, and I think with her experience, that's what led me that way. But the more I've seen Macy, I mean, seeing her size and seeing the fact that she looked healthy and happy all fight week. Not that Panny looked like she was struggling during fight week. I know it was probably a harder cut. And I mean, when we talked to her, I think on that first day she still had – I can't remember if she was one of the ones that gave us numbers, but I felt like she still had six or seven or something to go. But she didn't look bad. But, you know, when you saw Macy, she looked healthy and looked like this was like a fun fight week, you know.
Yeah.
And that just goes to think that when it comes to fight night, she's going to have a lot of energy and a lot of strength. But still leaning towards the technique side, you know. Like they said, it's not always about strength, you know. Like Connor likes to say, you know, it's about that precision, you know, timing. So that's
what
I'm leaning.
It's a big fight there. I'm excited for that one. It is. I think you did get a good final out of this. So
yeah.
I think that's going to be a good
fight.
That's
going to be good.
And then the heavyweight fight. And Juan Espino versus Justin Frazier. Juan Espino, a Spanish fighter, 38 years old, by the way. You're only supposed to be 35. It's 21 to 35. He got kind of a special exception. I guess he basically petitioned his ass off to get in.
Oh, to get into the house.
Yeah, to get into the house. He made it to the final, so he's proven his point. A big dude, man.
Yeah.
He stood next to him this week.
Well,
he's
good
a
reason
dude.
They gave him that exception.
Yeah, no doubt. He's proven it. But Justin Frazier, an undersized heavyweight, I would say.
Yeah.
But a dude that a great spirit, number one, man. He was fun to talk to, a lot of heart. But I want to play this audio because, you know, he came in and did a scrum with us. And, again, I'm assuming, to be honest, that most of our listeners haven't even watched The Ultimate Fighter. But, you know, he came in and talked about, you know, why he feels comfortable here and why he feels like this was his destiny and why he feels like he could win. And, you know, he talked about the difficulty that his son had had in early in his life, and he felt like, you know, that had encouraged him and taught him what strength is. And, you know, the basically kind of built around it. And I will say this, you know, kudos to you, Kenny, because, you know, I know I'm the reporter and you're the videographer in most situations, but you were like, hey, listen, I think you were smart enough to realize in that situation, hey, a lot of people probably don't know the story. So maybe this cursory
– myself included.
Maybe this cursory examination of it isn't enough. And you said, hey, you know, for people that don't know, explain it. And Justin took time to break it all down.
He laid it out right from get-go, from, like, birth and everything. I was like, wow.
He laid this out. And that's the audio I want to play. We're not going to play the full scrum, but we're just going to play the part where you followed up. And he explains this story. And – I mean, listen, anybody's listening, if you're looking for somebody to cheer for, and again, I'm not trying to disparage Juan Espino, I'm not saying that, but look, I'll be honest, this story, and his son is six, so maybe it struck more, you know, home with me because my son is six as well, but I think anybody that's a parent, and hell, I don't even know if you have to be a parent to just feel for this.
You don't have to. I'm not a parent.
I was tearing up.
Yeah,
bro.
I was getting very moved. Yeah, I was getting very choked up. It's hard to not to. I mean, granted, it's one thing by listening. I think everybody is going to get the feel. And there's another thing when you see his emotion when he was talking about it, looking at right in his face, you know. Yeah. And yeah, you're right. It's hard to not pull for that. Just to think of how can fighting or any of that stuff be tough after dealing with the stuff that his young family's already dealt with? It's just it's mind blowing. But I think it'll resonate with everybody.
All right, here's Justin Frazier.
I appreciate you bringing up your son. I was going to ask you to maybe clarify for those of us that maybe don't know the full details. Can you talk a little bit about that situation and how that has put this all into perspective?
Okay. My son, Brantley, 6 years old. He's born August 30th of 2012. He's 3 foot tall. Stands about that tall. He weighs 30 pounds. Actually, he'll correct me on that. He weighs 32.3 pounds right now. He messaged me when I was in Yuma. He's gained some weight, so he's pumped about that. He's by far the smartest six-year-old you ever see. He will argue and carry on like you wouldn't believe. At 2 weeks old, Brantley had a heart transplant. He was at the time, he was the second youngest heart transplant recipient in the world. I think he weighed around 6 pounds when that happened. They had to leave his chest open for about 2 weeks because the heart that they got him from another child was actually still physically too big to fit into his chest, and they had to let the swelling and everything go down. So he literally sat there. You could see his heart beating in his chest. We lived in the hospital for nearly 18 months. In that time, some of the medicine that he took gave him PTLD, post-transplant lymphoma. So we fought cancer. He was on chemo while trying to recover from a heart transplant. We got to hold him at, 6 months? So I think he was close to 6 months old. First time we got to actually, you know, hold our child. I lived in the hospital the whole time, lived off of savings from money that I'd saved from fights and when I was working, selling insurance, et cetera. And now he's batting 1,000. He's home. Right now he's rooting me on. I'm looking forward to the weigh-ins tomorrow because he wrote me a letter that I get to read after weigh-ins. I don't get to read it before, so I'm really pumped about that. He wrote me a letter before I left for this last 2 weeks. You know, Dad, I know you're going to kick butt. You don't have any other option to do that, but just for good luck, I'm going to send Uno with you, and I'll explain who Uno is in just a second. He said, I'm going to send Uno with you for good luck because he was there for me when I needed good luck. And Uno is it's the very first sock monkey, the first Uno sock monkey he got. He was 2 days old, and he was laying there, and it's like a plastic container. You know, they got the shield over him, all these lines and stuff running into him because he had a surgery. The second day old, they cut him open and they put PA bands on him, which stop the blood flow to your lungs so the oxygen get to the rest of his body because his original heart had holes in it, it wasn't working. And he said, Uno was there for me when I needed good luck. Not that you need good luck, but I'm sending Uno with you anyways because I know this last part of 2 weeks of camp is going to be rough. So here's your good luck for that. Go kick butt, and I'll see you December 2nd when you get home. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm honestly... Friday can't get here fast enough because I get to go home on Saturday and I get to go see my son. Then after that, me and him, I built him a rifle this year. He's six, he's tiny, so I built him a little rifle to deer hunt with. He's legally old enough to hunt in Arkansas now, so we're going to spend a lot of time in a tree stand, and he's going to get to experience what I like to do, and we're going to have a good time. I look forward to that.
That's awesome.
Thank you
very much for
you
sharing.
Bet.
All right, so that's Justin Frazier right there. Like I said, man, I mean, literally was wiping away tears, man. I don't mind admitting that. It was pretty damn tough stuff, man, to be honest with you. And I just don't know how you don't cheer for that guy again. I mean, I hate to, you know, of course we're impartial. Of course, you know, I would be just as happy for Juan Espino to win. But I just, for somebody that's been through something like that, man, I don't know how you don't have a little emotional tie to him a little bit and hope they do well.
No, dude.
It was powerful stuff.
Picked against him, but I'm totally rooting for him.
Yeah, right? That's funny. That's funny how it works out, man. All right, let's talk about the rest of the card real quick. Brian Caraway versus Pedro Munhoz. We talked to both of those guys as well.
Good
fight there, man. A meaningful fight for Brian Caraway. You know, Brian Caraway opened up on MMA Junkie Radio about, you know, man, some of the stuff that he's been going through. And I thought it was awesome of him to just talk about it. I mean, obviously the death of Robert Fallas is a big one. And that resonates with all of us in this area. But, you know, he talked about, you know, his relationship with Misha and how that fallen apart and her having a family and, you know, what that impacted him and just so many things that were going on, you know, right in his life. And for him to talk about it all, I thought was pretty awesome. And listen, I thought he did a great thing this week. It's a home game here in Vegas, and he told us, you know, he stayed at home. And it's an interesting thing. You know, some people, yeah. The people that live in here in Vegas, you know, you still get a hotel room. You get your suite. So you get to make your decision. What do you want to do? Do you want to go and stay at the hotel and treat it like it's a fight week? You know what I mean? Where you're cut off from the world and you kind of get into that, you know, mindset or whatever. Or do you keep your routine going? And I will say that is one thing Robert Fallas used to always tell me about Brian Caraway. He said, man, that guy, because and Brian admits it, you know, he lives in his head a little bit, and he's like, if we could just, you know, not tell him that we've got a fight booked for him and just swoop by his house on a Saturday and throw him in a van and drive him to the arena and drop him in the cage, they're like, he would beat everybody. But he, you know, he overthinks things, and he's you know, kind of living in his head all the time. And so this week he said, you know, he stayed at home. And, you know, this is a big fight for him. He talked about the fact, you know, that he and UFC were kind of at each other's throats a little bit. You know, he was out of the promotion for a little while. They dropped him from the rankings, and now he's back. So a big fight for him. And, of course, Pedro Munhoz is a guy that we've enjoyed following for a long time, you know, coming from the regional scene and then, you know, having success. He's had mixed results in the UFC, but Pedro Munhoz, when he loses – man, it's only to the absolute best. You know, it's only to that top tier. So I find this to be a very intriguing fight.
Yeah, I'm stoked for this one. Who did you lean on this one?
I went Caraway.
Did you go Caraway?
I went Caraway.
Yeah, I went Munhoz.
Munhoz is the right pick in a lot of ways, but I feel like Caraway is like ready to have that breakout performance, you know?
And he has them. I mean,
he has skills. I know people hate on him,
yeah,
but he has skills. You watch him in the gym.
The fights that you think that he's going to lose, he gets it together, and this could definitely be one of those fights. But you know, I'm super stoked for this because these are two guys that are they're not afraid to throw hands. So I mean, I'm looking forward to them, you know, kind of meeting in the middle and kind of just seeing who lasts.
It should be good. Edmund Shahbazyan, as you mentioned, the Contender Series alum, you know, that are on this card. Edmund Shahbazyan, one of those, going against Darren Stewart. Another, I think, very intriguing fight. Now, if you didn't see Edmund Shahbazyan, he is a Glendale Fighting Club alum, so you will see Edmund Tavernian in the corner, which, of course, always draws the ire of many MMA fans who will certainly be screaming head movement. Yeah.
I didn't watch the stream today, but I did find myself without even realizing I was doing it. As soon as I saw him, I was like, zoom over a little bit more, pushing, just knowing that Facebook was going to start doing it.
No question about it. But Edmund Shahbazyan really impressed me in his Contender Series fight. He's big. He's strong. He seems confident. He seems well put together. Darren Stewart's dangerous, man. There's no question about it. Darren Stewart is dangerous, but there's a big size difference between these two. And I feel like Edmund, you know, there's something about him, man, that just he seems to have something going. Now,
head movement?
There you go.
Is it his head movement?
It's his head movement. It's definitely his head movement. And I believe, if I remember right, Ronda Rousey actually manages him. So that kind of...
Really?
Yeah. That kind of makes you think that maybe she saw something,
she
too.
She saw something.
So we'll see. We'll see. I think this is a big fight. And I will say this, too. We're waiting here. I'm actually, I mean, doing a little reporting on the air, I guess. Well, and listen, the text has come across right now. I'll just say it right now. Ji-Yun Kim versus Antonina Shevchenko. Almost said Antonio like they did this morning. Whoops.
I know. I was like, ah.
Fight is on. That we were hearing news that maybe it might not be, but we're hearing now that it's on.
Well, that's good.
6-pound weight difference between the two. We are still waiting on an official word from the UFC, which I imagine will come any moment. Like I said, I apologize. I'm actually sending text messages as we're talking, but the fight is going to happen. There was a 6-pound weight discrepancy, and here we're sitting down right now. It's 8:30 p.m. The weigh-ins were this morning at 9 a.m. Ji-Yun Kim was the first one on the scale. The weigh-ins were over in an hour.
Yeah.
It's taken 10 hours to get this fight official, but I'm now receiving a text message and hopefully to get a few others to confirm afterwards that this fight is happening. And apparently what it boiled down to was the NSAC wanted it to be within a 5-pound weight allowance.
Sure.
But because Antonina actually came in under. 124.5, yep. It ended up being a 6-pound discrepancy, and that had them concerned all day. Complicating matters, Bob Bennett is on vacation in Hawaii, and so he didn't necessarily have cell phone service, and there was a big time difference. And the commissioners that are left were trying to handle things, but I think they wanted to make sure Bob was okay with their decision as well. But literally, as we're sitting down to record this, I had heard that the fight might be off, and it sounds like now it is going to happen.
That's awesome. I was looking forward to it. Antonina is a fun fighter, and Kim is she's tough. She's tough. She likes to throw down. But, man, I'm just excited to see where Shevchenko is going. You know, not to say that she's living in the shadow of her sister because she has her own career that's been, you know, very well documented. She's a great fighter in her own right. But, this could be a real test to see how she has grown in the MMA world. I'm super stoked. I mean, should be fun. And Kim, I felt bad for her. I mean, because she looked – I mean, granted, I know they tried to push it and get a lot of weight. It looked like she could have gave a little bit more. She wasn't like – she didn't have that sunken look. You know, she actually even kind of, you know, looked – good, look pretty healthy at the weigh-ins. Like, man, did you not have time to kind of get a little bit more out? But I'm glad the fight's able to go. I did lean towards Shevchenko on this one.
I think so. I mean, listen,
yeah.
And basically the reason Kim missed is she stepped in on short notice.
Short notice.
And my understanding is that, you know, it kind of felt like the UFC was in a bad spot, and they said, hey, listen, we'll take the fight, and then found out the weight cut was going to happen. But yeah, it's happening. So good stuff. I thought we were going to lose that fight, and I'm like you. I wanted to see that as well. I guess just kind of running through the rest of it real quick. I mean, Joseph Benavidez versus Alex Perez. That to me is the fight to watch on the prelims. You know, Alex Perez stepping in on 3 weeks' notice, facing Joseph Benavidez, a top-ranked contender. Definitely a big, big fight for both these guys. I will say, and I've spent years around Joseph Benavidez, and I spent some time around Alex Perez. In my head, I didn't realize the size difference between those two until I actually saw them stand next to each other today.
Yeah,
Alex Perez is way bigger than Joseph Benavidez.
He is a lot bigger. You know, I think we both went Benavidez in our staff picks, but yeah, it was one of those moments seeing the size difference. They were just like, oh, what have we done? I mean, but let's be honest. I mean, we're a bit of homers for JB. He's done a lot of great things for us. And being here in Vegas, we see him absolutely everywhere. You know, and Megan's a good friend, too. And I'd hate to pick against her, man, you know, and then have to see her one day and have to live it down. So there's some of those picks that you're just like, all right, I'm just going to have to take one for the team. And this is kind of one of those ones. But that being said, Joseph is he's a hell of a fighter, man. Yeah. When he comes in and he's healthy, his head movement, his sort of unorthodox movement side to side, and his quickness getting in and out usually is what wins him the day, you know. But seeing that size of Alex, man, he has the kind of size difference that you could just sort of bully somebody around. And if Joby's going to be trying to run around waiting to try to strike on some of these shots, you know, this is the kind of fight that can almost get away from him. While if Alex is seen as the dominator, the guy that's, you know, kind of pushing the pace, You know, you could lose rounds, you know, if he's just trying to run instead of just stand there in the middle with the bigger guy and try to trade, you know, it's, he might lose rounds just kind of, you know, trying to do that movement. But Alex, he's an exciting fighter, man. He's got great striking. It should be a lot of fun. But yeah, seeing that difference today, it made me doubt my pick. I'm sticking with it. I'm not going to swap it, you know, but that size difference, you're right, in your head. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, no, they're about the same size. You know, yeah. All these smaller guys, you know, they're all the same size. And you saw it and you're like, holy cow, he's a flyweight?
Yeah, amazing. That's the key fight on the prelims, no doubt. But there's some other ones. Kevin Aguilar, we've seen him come up on the regional scene versus Rick Glenn. Rick Glenn did miss weight as well, but Kevin Aguilar was excited to be here. That's a good one. Batista and Green off the show were there. Lutzen and Stolarenko also off the show were there. Horcher versus Roosevelt Roberts, another contender series of lungs.
I do want to say about that, Glenn, that we went back to double-check, because if you guys watched the ceremonial weigh-ins, Brendan up on the stage said 30%, said he was fine 30%. You know, we had initially reported from what we were told 20%. So I wanted to go back and make sure that we weren't wrong, like, you know, because somebody's going to watch it and be like, oh, you guys are wrong. You guys said 20%.
That's right. No.
We went back, and 20% is the correct amount. You know, they misspoke up on the stage. So
yeah.
Not sure where they got the
30%
from.
They're wrong, not us.
They're
That's
wrong,
what we're
not us. So maybe they went back to look at the last time somebody lost by that much weight, and maybe that was the percentage. You know, I always feel like 30% comes in other places. I feel like 20% in Vegas seems to be one of
again,
those.
Well, again, I'll throw it out there as a public service announcement. Remember, if you're a fighter and your opponent misses weight, 20% is not written anywhere.
It's not written. It's true.
You can ask for whatever you want, man. Go ask for 50 and settle for 30.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There you go.
Do that. So, anyway, all right. Well, listen, we'll have full coverage of that from Las Vegas. It's not the only UFC card this weekend. UFC Fight Night 142 is taking place in Australia. Bummed to me missing that, but I get it, man. It's been the reality of our 2018 with the trimmed travel schedules. You know, it's a good card. I mean, I get it. You know, it's hard to sell our bosses at USA Today, maybe on some of the prelim cards or whatever. But, man, the top stuff at the top of the card is big. Junior Dos Santos and Tai Tuivasa in a very, very key heavyweight contest. Man, a lot on the line. You know, Junior Dos Santos had that time off. He had a good win last time out. It wasn't necessarily, it wasn't necessarily the greatest performance of all time where you go say, all right, now we got to, you know, now we got to book him in a title fight. He's in the number one contender fight. No, it's not. But, you know, he got back in the win column and he kind of put everything that happened behind him. Meanwhile, Tai Tuivasa, I'll be honest with you, man. I like both these guys. Junior Dos Santos is one of the nicest guys in the game, no question about it, man. I mean, you know, he's on that he's on that upper echelon. I mean, there's so many nice guys in this game, but he's on that Mark Munoz tip of like the nicest guys.
I like that.
Of all,
you give like
time.
A Mark Munoz award for like the super nicest fighters out there. You're right, but he is super super nice. He is on a whole nother level. I don't think I've ever seen him upset. Like having a bad fight week,
no.
You know. Granted, it probably helps being a heavyweight. You know, he's not hurting like some of these other guys. But yeah, he's one of those guys. But Tai is giving a run for the money in the terms of a guy that you looks like you just want to hang out with him.
Right.
Like I just want to throw back some beers with him. You know. Granted, I will not drink from a damn shoe, but I feel like he would force everyone that he sat down to have a beer with to at least drink something from a shoe.
Trust me. Listen, I got to see a little bit of him in action in Moscow.
Yeah.
And Tai Tuivasa can put in some work.
I bet. I believe it.
Listen, he's a good dude to hang out with. You know what's funny is it just came back to me, man. Junior, so I don't know why, you know, talking about Junior and thinking about what a nice guy is. I remember being in Brazil one time, and I don't even remember what this event was. I don't even think he was fighting. I think he was just a guest fighter down there. And it was we were driving to like the favelas for like a community project or whatever, and I happened to be in the shuttle that he was in going to the favelas, because obviously you know, they weren't letting you as a journalist like take a taxi into the favela. You know, the UFC was
smart.
Like, listen, if you're going to cover this, you're riding with
we
us.
We want you to be able to come back.
Yeah, exactly. So we were riding on the shuttle, because normally we're not allowed to be on shuttles with fighters, because obviously, you know,
yeah,
they don't want them to be uncomfortable. This was a special situation. And on the way back, I just remember him singing like pop song after pop song of like Katy Perry, and it was, in fact, I remember him singing Baby, you're a firework.
That's hilarious.
And it was lit. And I didn't realize that. I mean, that was basically how he taught himself English, or like how
English.
He improved his English was like listening to pop music or whatever. And I just remember laughing. I'm like, dude, who would think that, you know, big tough heavy like you would be singing Katy Perry?
Katy Perry
song. And he's like, John, it's a beautiful song.
It really is, Jay.
Oh,
JDS,
man.
It
so,
really is.
This is a key fight, man. So, you know, listen, you know, those fights are on normal time for us. Yes, I know it's in Australia, and so you probably haven't seen a ton of media coverage. You probably haven't seen a ton of interviews. But it is worth watching, and it's on Saturday night. It's not like China was, where you got to you know, you got to get up at 3 in the morning or whatever the case may be. So a big fight. I'm excited about it. It's meaningful for both these guys. We're going to find out if Tai Tuivasa is real. We're going to find out if Junior Dos Santos is still at that championship level. Can he hold off the fast-rising up-and-comer? And then, even though we're not covering it, I did get a chance to get Tai Tuivasa on the phone earlier this week, and I figured, you know what? Let's save that audio for the MMA Roadshow. Let people hear Tai Tuivasa, because I'll be honest, Tai is not a guy that generates big traffic for MMA Junkie yet. I see that. I mean, so I don't think he's resonating big time yet. And maybe, I mean, I know the shoey thing is the shoey thing, but this dude is more than the shoey
more
thing,
than
man.
Shoey.
He's more than a shoey. And I did see, I was like kind of Googling some stuff, like getting some notes together. I did see that somebody, and this is so obvious it was on the table. I don't know why nobody, I hadn't heard it before. Maybe it's out there. Mm-hmm. But one of the Australian outlets down there had labeled him Tai Tuivasa, which it's just right there. It was on the T. I don't know how he grabbed it. But it's more than the shoey. It's more
than
the shoey. Here is Tai Tuivasa.
Tai, how you doing, sir?
John, bro, you're a hard man to get through to.
I thought you were the one that was hard to get a hold of, man.
Nah, baby, I've been waiting for you.
I love to hear. Hey, Ty, talk to me, man. I mean, I know you're not the sentimental type, but, you know, main event, Australia. I mean, are you feeling the love this week? Is it feeling pretty special?
Man, it's a very big achievement, you know, for me and my family and for my country, but... But, you know, same shit goes. It's just a fight. It's the same old fight, you know. We're going to get in there and we're both going to punch face. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, no question. So, I mean, do you let yourself enjoy it all? Though, as you said, I mean, it is a big accomplishment. You talk about where you came from and, you know, what you represent to the country. I mean, are you letting yourself enjoy it at all? Or is that a mistake to let yourself enjoy it? You got to keep your head on straight.
No, I keep my shit level, bro, you know. This is, you know, I'm not done yet. I'm only getting started. I've only been fighting for a year, so I'll probably let my hair down in a few years when I do something real big, you know?
Yeah, no doubt, man. Talk about being back in Australia. I mean, obviously that's your home, and I know you represent. Do you enjoy fighting there more? I mean, you got the nice Chicago experience earlier this year. It seemed like you had fun there. What do you want to do moving forward? Is it better for you to fight at home, or do you want to be out on the road a little bit?
Man, there's no place like home. Of course, and I've said it from the start. You know, any show in Australia, I'm obviously going to lean towards Australia more than anywhere else in the world. But you know, same shit applies. Fight. You know, if I fight anywhere, it's the same shit's going to happen. I'm gonna rock up and I'm gonna throw down.
Yeah, no question. Talk about JDS, man. You guys had a little back and forth on social media, you know, had a little couple barbs at him. Now that it's fight week and he's around, I mean, is there tension there? Are you shooting him some looks or anything like that? Or is he just too nice of a guy? You guys are out there petting kangaroos and stuff.
Yeah, yesterday we were cuddling each other and, you know, but, no, Junior embraced a part of my culture and he took it on board and I really respect that. I really do respect that. The fight, all the shit, you know, trash talking or whatever. We're gonna fight, but when it comes to cultures and respect, you know, that's different, you know. And I really appreciate what he did yesterday, and that'll always that'll stay in my heart, and you know, and I'll take that from him for sure. That's something I really appreciate. But it's definitely not gonna change what's gonna happen on Sunday. You know, we're both gonna try and take each other's head off. That's just how it is.
No question about it. Is this? I mean, I know you said it's kind of every fight's the same to you, but I mean, this is a former champion. I know Andre Arlovski was a former champion, but that was a long time ago. I mean, does this feel like a bigger fight, a more current name, a more you know, recent champion. Does this feel special to you in that way, in testing yourself?
Man, you know me. I really don't give a fuck. everyone's the same. I approach every fight the same. You know, he's got two hands, I've got two hands. He's got two legs, I've got two legs. It's very simple, this fighting game. That's how I look at every fight.
I was going to say, it's almost like us writers overthink things a little bit, huh? I mean, is there no real game plan? It's just show up and do what you do?
Fighting's that simple. you do the punching or you get the punching. It's simple. It's very simple.
That's awesome. I know you got a new contract a couple months back, right? I mean, did you feel the love from the UFC there? Is it feeling like your career is really moving in the right direction for you?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, it's better than where I started. But obviously, after this fight, you know, if I do what I do and I make a statement, I'll be definitely hitting them up for phase three, and I'll be expecting that phase three cash, baby.
You said it right there, man. You said make the statement, man. I know you said this is a simple game and everything's the same and you keep a level head, but I don't know, Ty. This would seem like a really, really big moment, a big win. I mean, does this feel like an opportunity to really kind of catapult yourself into the mainstream to get the spotlight?
For sure. This is make or break. But, you know, to some people, I think they might look at that as something very big. And for me, I'm doing something that somewhere where I'm from has never been done before, you know. So, and the person where I come from, you know, I'm already doing good. I take every day as a blessing, and that's how I take it. And this is just another fight, but this is make or break for me. And I'm ready. You know, I leave all that up to my coaches and trainers. I do the hard work, and then it's just up to me to get in there and do the business.
Yeah, no question. Have you thought about what comes next? I mean, you said, you know, this is the next phase. I mean, this will be big. Do you have a plan mapped out?
Nah. Yeah, you know me. I just take it every day as it comes, man. Every day is a blessing. I got this fight to worry about. I'm not worried about what's next. You know, I do my work here and I get it done, and then hopefully that money comes. And like I said, you know, if the money's there, I'll fight anyone. I don't give a shit.
Beautiful. Beautiful, man. You keep it simple. I like it, man. Well, let me just ask you one last time. I mean, when you play this one out, what are we expecting? I mean, is this going to be one of those epic heavyweight clashes we've seen down in Australia? You know, Bigfoot and Hunt, or are we talking about quick and dominating? How does this get done?
Man, this can go either way, but you know, I want to. This is my hometown. Not my hometown. This is my home country. These are my peoples. The guy who's coming to take my head off is Mo Slouch. He's one of the best fighters ever. So I'm not taking it lightly, you know. I'm going to go out there and I want to get this done quick. I'm coming out and I'm swinging for the fences.
All right, so Ty Tuivasa, man, I just, as you said, I mean, he's as laid back as you'd expect. He's got jokes, and I just love his simplistic approach to things, man. It's like, listen, dude, you either, you know, you go out there and either you punch or you get punched, man. It's not that hard. Like, quit overthinking this shit, John. It is what it is. So I dig it, but I love this main event, man. I love both the guys in it. I think I ended up going with Tuivasa in my picks, but it's a tough call because JDS, I mean, one of the most, the cleanest, you know, pure technique. He's got great heart as well. You know, Ty, this is, I don't want to say a make or break moment for Ty because Ty's a young guy. I mean, he's in his early 20s. He's got a lot of future ahead of him, but this is one of those moments where I think you really measure him to see what you got.
You're right. And I think I leaned towards JDS in this, and I went towards the experience, especially in the big moments. I think this could be one of those moments where Ty Tuivasa, to use the whatever the Australian outlet's name, he's going to have a lot of pressure on his shoulders. You know, he's gonna feel that he needs to carry this event, being the main headliner and being down there. So I'm thinking that this big pressure moment might be a little bit too much. And I still think JDS has got a good bit left in the gas tank.
I do too.
This is not a diminished JDS. He might not be what he was at his peak, but I still think he's a very dangerous guy. And I think with him being that and this extra pressure on Tui, I lean towards JDS. I think that pressure might, you know, cause him to kind of falter a little bit, and JDS isn't a guy that you want to be a little bit unsure in there. That might not be the case, but it's just hard. I always find it hard to pick against JDS.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, hard to pick against him. But it should be a fun fight. But you're right. If Tui can come out there and smash JDS and catch JDS,
statement.
And let alone if he finishes
statement.
Him. Holy cow, welcome. You are here, sir, and you have stamped your name on the division. I mean, that JDS, I mean, he's a legend in that division. So,
yeah.
I mean, if he can beat a former champ like that, he most certainly is there.
It's interesting, man, because, you know, you and I have gotten a chance to go down to that region a little bit and – you know, see this up-and-coming talent that's been developing, man. And, you know, I think Tyson Pedro, who, of course, fights in the co-main against Shogun Hua, you know, I think he was that one that was kind of like that next-generation guy. I mean, Jake Matthews, yes, but I think Tyson Pedro was one, and then he had some losses or whatever, you know. But you keep seeing this talent coming. Tai Tuivasa, let's go ahead and mention Israel Adesanya. You know, these names that have been coming up. Dan Hooker, Alexander Volkanovski, you know, this generation of guys that seems to be developing from there. And I think for whatever reason, and maybe it is, I mean, maybe the Shuey thing, as much as it was like the great gimmick to get him in the door, like I almost feel like it's like a hindrance to people. They're like, well, he's the Shuey guy. Like, hold on, man. Like, if he beats JDS, like now you start realizing he's more than the Shuey guy.
Yeah.
So this is a big moment. Tyson Pedro, Shogun Hua in the co-main event. Big moment there too. You know, I talked to Tyson earlier this week. He was great as well. You know, I'm a big fan of Tyson Pedro. I'm a big fan of his walk-in music choices. He's a good dude.
Oh, yeah.
but he's in a key spot, man. He's 1-2 in his last three fights. You know, that happens. You know, you suffer your first loss. You rebound. You get a win. Then you suffer a loss again, and that doesn't sound that bad. You're like, well, you know, he's a young prospect. He's gaining experience, that sort of thing. But all of a sudden, you find yourself at 1-3 in four fights. That does not sound good. You know what I mean? No
right.
matter what the circumstances are, it doesn't sound good. Now, again, he's going against Shogun, who, you know, Shogun is a diminished version of Shogun. There's no question about it. I mean, he's been dealing with, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, but I mean, if you could get him to talk honestly, man, his knees are gone. You know what I mean? He's just not, he's not that young marauder that he was in Pride. Not to say he's not a great fighter. He's still a great fighter. I mean, you're not going to be a chump and come in and beat Shogun. You still got to be at the top of your game. So, you know, this is a good test for Tyson Pedro to see if, you know, was it the personality, was it, you know, all the things surrounding him that got us caught up in him, or is Tyson going to be one of the guys, one of this new generation of fighters, you know, like Tuivasa seems to be, like Adesanya definitely is proving to be at this point. So, you know, big fight for Tyson Pedro, and I like that. I like Mark Hunt versus Justin Willis. It sounds like, you know, I had a great interview with Mark Hunt earlier this week. Put that up on MMA Junkie. He's basically just writing it off and saying this is his last UFC fight. He says he still wants to fight five more times, but he just doesn't see himself doing it in the UFC. And I was like, well, what if they came back and, you know, really sweetened the pot? And he's like, dude, I just don't see it happening. You know, I'd rather go somewhere else. He's got Justin Willis, so I like that fight. And I like Tony Martin. Tony Martin has quietly become one of my little closet favorites, man. He's just got this little chip on his shoulder. And actually this week, and I don't know if it's this week only or if this is him going forward, but he will not be Tony Martin on the broadcast.
Yeah,
he's going to be Anthony Rocco Martin. You know, he changed his Twitter handle. I don't do much Instagram. I don't know if he did that too, but he changed his Twitter handle to Anthony Rocco Martin. Or maybe not the handle, but you know what I mean? Like the label or whatever is to Anthony Rocco Martin. But that's what he's asked them to call him on the broadcast as well. He's going against Jake Matthews, and that's a key fight. Again, Jake Matthews, one of those guys that was on the rise, had a loss, seems to be battling back. So I love these top fights. And then there's all kinds of other stuff that you can talk about. Suman Mokhtarian, we love the Mokhtarians, man. They're great. Sadiq Yusuf, I'm a big fan of his. Paul Craig, can't understand a damn word he says, but Paul Craig, the great Scott, fun to watch. Jim Crute, who came off the Contender Series, flew all the way. Lots of stuff happened there. What are you going to be watching now for this?
All of the above. I did hear. Did you hear that it was Kayla Harrison's suggestion? Or is that just BS?
To go to Anthony Rocco Martin? Is that right?
That's what I thought I heard somebody say.
I did not hear that.
I thought I heard somebody
suggest like
that.
I mean, look, Anthony Rocco Martin is a hell of a lot more memorable than Tony Martin. I mean,
it is a very strong name.
Morgan. That is like about as common as you can get. Tony Martin, I feel you.
Yeah.
If you could go, you know. In fact, just drop Martin. Just be Anthony Rocco.
Anthony Rocco sounds pretty darn
like,
good.
Did you guys hear that newcomer, Anthony Rocco?
I mean, he could be completely BS. I forget where the hell I heard it, but I thought I heard somewhere that was at her suggestion.
That's great
but
if it is.
I don't know. Who knows? It could be a complete internet bullshit, but that should be a really, really good fight. But you're right. I mean, top to bottom, I love that Jake Matthews-Tony Martin fight. I think both of us picked opposites of that. Jake is
well. Don't listen to my picks. Listen to the leader.
Well, no, but you're right.
MMA junkie staff. I mean, we're talking about 1 month left to go.
1 month left.
Cole Coffey is in the lead, fellas.
It's a tough one, and that Willis Hunt one. That's another one, man. It hurt me to go against Hunt, but part of me was in that thinking of he has sort of doubted in. I think he is just trying to get that paycheck and go. I mean, if he's not willing to really. Well, I can understand why he doesn't want to stay with the UFC. The UFC has done him dirty these last few years. Man, they haven't given him the treatment that he deserves. I mean, he's done nothing to warrant the hatred.
No.
I mean, granted, trying to push for what he feels right. You know, yes, he's been very vocal about what they've done when they've allowed these cheaters, you know, that have done things. I mean, he's been vocal, you know, and we've seen how the UFC's treated other vocal people who are now no longer with the organization. So I just kind of felt that he was going in there getting that fight because I feel like he's already looking on greener pasture. So I think in his mind, if he loses here, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, so, but it pains me to pick against Hunt because Willis, while I think he is this great up and comer, you know, I wanted to put Hunt on that line. I just not completely 100% sold on Justin Willis, but I did side with Willis just for the fact that this is like Hunt's final swan song with the UFC, it seems.
Yep.
That Tony Martin, Jake Matthews, I love that fight. Jake has always impressed me. Great striker, but man, when I saw Tony, because, you know, you see a lot of these names and you think you're like, okay, I'm pretty sure I knew who that is. When I logged back in, I saw it, I was like, oh, God, yeah, Tony's dangerous. Tony is super powerful. And I almost switched, but I know that some of our Australian buddies down there are high on Jake Matthews. So,
of course.
You know, I sided with the Aussies down there, and I stuck with Jake Matthews. So that should be a good one. Saman Mukhtarian, he's a big fan of you, and he's a big fan of Junkie. He's always done a lot of interviews, so that's a good one. Sadiq Youssef, man, that's a good fight. Paul Craig, you know, we've had a lot of fun with Craig.
Paul Craig, my favorite story about Paul Craig is after, and it was after the comeback. Was it after
his comeback victory?
The amazing comeback victory with 1 second, and you and I were in an airport, and our team at home was working on his post-fight interview, and they were like, we can't understand this. Like, what is he saying? Because he's got that thick Scottish.
Super thick.
And we were like, and they were like, can you hear? I mean, you guys were there. Did you hear it? So we listened, and we're like, I have no idea what the hell he's saying. And we just happened to look up, and we're like, oh, he's drinking a beer too. I like, we're sitting there drinking. So we walk over to him. We're like, bro, no disrespect, but what in God's name are you saying right here? And he was saying, somebody's O had to go.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just, you know, generic sports statement. Yeah. But, like, even when he said it, I think both of us were like, what?
But you're right. That sold me on him. Like, when he was like, oh, yeah, here, sit down. Let's have a beer. Let's talk. No, I'll listen to whatever. And it was great. So, yeah, that should be a fun one. But, I mean, this is a good card. It just – these back-to-back things, and especially right now, it's just not fun because we have so many – the Bellators as well. It's just like – It's a little mind-numbing right now, the amount of fights right now. But I am looking forward to this one because I think there's a lot of great fights on this one. I mean, even looking at the prelim card, there's some great fights on there. It should be fun. But, yeah, I'm going to be by the near – the end of this event, I'm going to be burnt.
Oh,
I'm
dude, just, we got two UFCs, two Bellators. We got an LFA. We got a KSW.
I will be paying attention to that one.
I mean, we got all kinds of stuff. So there's a lot going on. All right, well, listen, I don't want to clog you up too much, but I did have a chance because I will be in Toronto next week. Now, by the way, I will be wearing shorts. I have looked at the weather report. It's going to be highly freezing, but I don't know that I have pants anymore. I'll have to try to
find have time
them.
To go to the store.
That is true, but don't – yeah, that is true. That's fair. That's fair. Maybe I'll go to the store
or
on
just
Monday.
Amazon them, and then you can use the excuse, why Amazon to order some pants, but they didn't quite fit. So.
Now you're talking. I like the Amazon. But I will be up there in Toronto. Me and the young Mike Bond will be handling duties up there in Toronto.
Duties.
But I did have a chance to speak with Max Holloway, and I thought, you know what? Might as well throw a little teaser of UFC 231 out there. So here's my conversation with Max Holloway.
Hey, Max. How you doing, brother?
Good, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I appreciate it. I guess we'll make it quick and start out. The question I'm sure you're going to have to answer every day until you fight. How are you feeling right now, man? And give us an idea how that compares to, you know, how you felt going into the last fight.
I'm good, man. You know, I'm good. You guys know me. I'm always good. You know, the last fight is, it's a very, very, very freaking craziness. I don't know how to explain it. It's just crazy. I feel great, man. I can't wait to go ahead and do it. You know, that last fight was just crazy circumstances. You know, shit happens, and it is what it is. So I can't wait.
Yeah, Max. The couple days before everything went down last week. I mean, did you have any indication or idea that something could be wrong? I mean, was it something you felt coming on?
You know, I don't know how to explain it. You know, we just like I said. Something went wrong after, like I said before, after my first meal in Vegas. Like, we landed there. I think it was, like, 8 days out from the fight. We gave it a couple of days, and, you know, it just got worse. And me and my team and the UFC and my team actually catfished me to going to the ER. And, the rest is history. You know, we went there. They checked my labs and stuff and kidneys and whatever. So it showed it wasn't a weight cut related thing. I'm pretty sure UFC they have all the records, so I'm pretty sure if it was, you know, they probably would have not sit well with them and stripped my ass, but the UFC doc said it wasn't that, and then, you know, and then the scan showed that the concussion was good. I also did tests for the concussion, not only scans, so I feel good, you know. One of the doctors there was like saying like, hey, you know, Vegas is a crazy place, man. Maybe you should do a talk screen or something. So who knows what could have been done to you. So that's all I can really say about that thing.
That's crazy. You said they had to trick you into going to the ER. You didn't want to go?
Oh, yeah. I was saying, I'm good. After the open workout, they saw me and they was like, oh, you got media. I was like, got media? What are you talking about? I know my schedule. I got my schedule right here. There's no media left. They're like, oh, UFC just booked something. Get in the van. I was like, okay. So we got in the van, and then they're like, hey, look at here. You're at the ER. I was like, wow.
That's funny. All right, well, let's put the health stuff aside, man. Talk about the training this time around. I mean, knowing that you got a second training camp, did you change anything? Did you tweak anything? Did you make strategic approaches? I mean, did you just – put in the same camp, or did you use this time to maybe switch things up a little bit?
Man, you know, same camp, same whole guy. You know, why fix something that's not broken? You know, it's been working, it's been doing great, you know, and it is what it is, you know. Even if it's at less time, you know, I'm ready. I'm a fighter. I'll fight whoever. I'll fight whenever. If you got to be ready to go if you believe you're the best in the world. And I believe I'm the best in the world, you know. So training been going great, and I feel great, and I can't wait, you know. Put all this talk about the new era, blah blah blah, whatever. It's a blessed era. We still in full effect, and Toronto is gonna see.
For you personally, how exciting is facing Ortega? I mean, you've obviously fought some tough dudes, some legends of the sport, man. But you know, this kid, he's up and coming, right? He hasn't established it, but he does have that undefeated record. He's got some interesting skills. I mean, how motivating and exciting is this guy for you?
You know, this is a fight that people talk about, or you know, in any sport, when people say, oh, I wish this and this guy fought at this time, you know what I mean? Like, this is the fight. This is it. This is me and him, you know, two young kids, you know, supposedly in our prime and stuff. So it's great, you know. And like you said, this is the kind of fight that excites me, because at the end of the day, you know, when it's all said and done, people look at my record like, what? Max fought him? Max did what to him? Like, that's cool. That's what I, you know, that's the kind of guys I want to fight. I want to fight the guys that everybody think is the best in the world, you know, so I can prove why I'm just that much better.
No doubt. When you get into Toronto, you haven't made the trip yet, have you?
I get to Toronto tomorrow. I'm in New York right now. We're just finishing up media day here, and now I'll be in Toronto tomorrow morning, I believe.
Nice. So did you want that extra time to get used to the time change and everything, or was that just media that they needed you to do?
They like the it's about the media or whatever, but we usually go up early. I not this early, but I'm usually up by fight weeks by the Friday or Saturday before fight week. So try and, you know, get ready, and especially now it's like freezing cold. You know, they're trying to ice me again, but it is what it is. UFC, I love you. You guys are gonna have a hot champion for a long time, and it's gonna be great.
Well, you know, and I think Makano said today, if it's too cold up there, you could just head back to Hawaii, man. He'll take your spot for you, and you can stay nice and warm out there.
Tom Makano, thank you for the offer, but I'll be seeing him sooner than later. So just be ready for anything. Tom, thank you for the offer. He's a great dude, cool guy, awesome guy. That's very funny. That guy is pretty funny. But, yeah, I look forward to seeing that guy, too, one day.
Does it bother you at all that he's a backup fighter? Because we know, I mean, yes, he's a backup for both you guys, but I guess the writing on the wall is he's a backup for you. Does it bother you that that's how it works out?
No, not at all. You know, things happen. That's out of my control. You know, just like a lot of these past events that was in my life that's been happening with these past fights and stuff, that's all out of my control. You know, what can I do? You know, I'm not going to cry over spilled milk. It is what it is. You know, they're covering their bases, and, you know, I respect that. But at the end of the day, I'll be there. I can't wait. This thinking of the feeling is amazing right now. I just can't wait to fight, man.
No, that if it was the other way around? If something did happen to Ortega, would you take Moicano on a day's notice or 2 days' notice?
Look, I'd take him on 3 hours' notice. I'd take you on an hour's notice. I don't care. You know, everybody was like, oh, you know, that Khabib fight, Max is crazy taking that 6 days of fight. Look, they're taking the fight with me. You got to remember, they're taking a fight with me. I don't care who it is, whoever. They got to remember who they're fighting and who they're set to fight against. And that's me. So I can't wait, man. I'm confident, you know. Like I said before, I'm a champion. I've been a champ. We're going for my second title defense. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't be pound for pound. You know, if you ain't number one, then why are you even trying? So I'm trying to be that number one pound for pound on world fighter in the world, on the planet. Number one. No questions asked.
No doubt. Well, I know you got a bunch of these, Max. So one last question, man. You said, you know, this is the fight, man. This is the stuff of legends right here. Two young guys. So, man, when you play this thing out, how do you see this going? I mean, is this going to be some kind of an epic five-round back-and-forth clash, or do you feel like you can go out there and make a statement and do something special? I mean, how do you feel this thing goes?
You know, like I said, I tell you guys all before, he's a great guy. He comes from a great team, great camp. I look forward to the challenge, but, you know, at the end of the day, my fighting style and stuff is just, I'm just going to go out there, you know, I do what I do best and, you know, open the door for you. And whenever you're ready, you know, grab your hand and walk you through it. And be like, you know, thank you, come again, if that's the case. But I'm just trying to prove, guys, you know, I want to prove, guys, people keep saying this is going to be one of my hardest fights. I want to go out there and make this fight look like what was that? You know, that's my game plan, you know, but hey, if it's a firework fight, it's a firework fight, and I can't wait. You know, a lot of people are saying that this might be fight of the year, so I can't wait for that either. You know, whatever. This fight just excites me in a lot of ways, and I can't wait to get it done.
All right, that was Max Holloway. He is pumped up, ready to go. I love it, man. He is thrilled for this fight with Brian Ortega. I am thrilled for the fight with Brian Ortega. I'm not going to lie. I'm a bit of a T-City homer, man. I like T-City a lot. But, dude, how do you not love Max Holloway as well? Man, just thinking back, I always will forever remember his UFC debut and coming in as a tiny little teenager kid. And doing, you know, speaking of all the historic things that have happened at the Ultimate Fighter Gym, I remember his media day was at the Ultimate Fighter Gym for his debut. So I'm anxious for that fight, man. These are two guys as good as they get in the prime. I mean, I just don't know how you don't get stoked for this. You and Jacek Shevchenko's in there. Man, I mean, dude, card.
That's a good card.
Card is dope, man.
That's a good card.
I'm excited for that. So that'll be next week, though. But I just wanted to give you a little teaser because I was able to get Max Holloway on the phone. I said, what the hell? Why not share that with all of our good friends here at the MMA Roadshow? I wasn't going to stop yet.
Oh, okay.
You're just writing me out?
Well, no, you paused. You gave that dramatic pause. Like
my
editor
was about to cut me off. My producer was done. I didn't even get to give it the official ending.
Well, I thought we were maybe going to play something for it or something.
No, that's it.
Oh, okay. Well,
thanks for listening.